me. All the pints are bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money, now that's the key.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Rig Biz Podcast. My name is Freddie Claude, and I'm joined for once by a victorious Englishman. Monsieur.
Swing low, sweet chariot.
You're not allowed to sing that anymore.
Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home.
That was beautiful.
I look Dover Jordan, and what did I see?
Are you okay?
Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot.
Are you alright?
Coming for to carry me home.
Well, it seems like you're still reveling in the victory from the weekend.
What a weekend.
Yeah?
The boys are back.
The boys are back.
They obviously took a lot of what I said a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, that victory is good for them and Jonesy, but it's also a victory for me.
Yeah.
To know that I was responsible for that reaction is quite incredible.
Have you got any messages from the lads who played or not?
No messages. They don't need to say anything.
All right. You know they took it on board.
Yeah, I know.
You know they're listening.
I know a lot of them listen to the Rig Biz. You know, Genji, Kuzza, loads of them.
Sounds like loads of them do.
Yeah, they all do.
So how did you celebrate the victory personally?
Well, mate, I watched it at home and then went and met Clefty on Northcote Road and just did a massive pub crawl.
But the pubs aren't open.
No, they weren't. But what Clefty did is he got a couple of tinnies, like different beers for different pubs. And we started at the Bolingbroke and we made all our way up to Northcote Road to Clapham Junction train station. Bloody good fun.
But surely nobody was out. There's no Atmos.
No, there was a few people out. Mainly the sort of families making their way home, back home. So yeah, it was okay.
Right. Okay. Doesn't sound that good.
No, it was good. I think a lot of the families with their kids, they saw us, but they've got to learn somewhere, and so they saw two professional lashers enjoying it.
Well, Archie, obviously, as you know, after all these years, that Manscaped are one of our chief sponsors.
Still here, aren't they?
They are still here,
just
and they're
chucking
still
coin in my
loving
pocket.
It.
Absolutely incredible.
So I thought that this week...
I'm making so much money from this.
I thought this week...
It's just a lovely little moneymaker, a money spinner.
So I was thinking this week we should talk up Manscaped's
new
product.
No, mate, listen. Okay, I think the phone calls are the way forward. And actually, I'm thinking, you know, we're going to be back. The Clapham Falcons are going to be back playing in a matter of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm actually calling one of my teammates.
Who are you calling?
No Chat Pat.
Oh, God, this is going to be good.
His body hair is awful.
Okay.
It's probably up there with his chat. And it's pretty smelly.
And with you guys returning to rugby in a couple of weeks' time, you want the whole sort of team groomed.
Mate, I'm going to call him.
All right.
And I'm going to just tell him straight, listen, sort it out ASAP.
Okay, go for it, mate.
Hi there, it's Patrick. I can't get to the phone right now. Please leave me a message and I'll get back to you.
Oi, No Chat Pat, it's Kuzza here. Hope you're well. Listen, mate, just wanted to get in contact and have a little quiet word in your ear. You know we're starting training in a couple of weeks, and one thing that's always been notable about you is your awful body hair, your bush, your chest, your ears, and your nose. Can you please sort it out ASAP before we turn up? I really don't want you turning up ungroomed. It's disgusting. If anything, it's nearly as bad as your chat, mate. Anyway... use the code RIGBIZ20, you get 20% off, and please sort it out. Otherwise, go and start playing hockey.
I got my fresh foot, this food on my doorstep now, feel me. All the girls wanna come back to me. We all say this is how we play. A little bit of salmon now and then I'll stay the day. Like if you wanna some of me, then you better be more than ready. Cause fat equals smelly, getting strong, don't do me wrong. Clapham Commons calling for a summer strong, so don't be long. 30 gas, a meal prep later. I'm still finding my chassis, sloppy like a skater. Looking in the mirror, that's belt putting, I'm a hater. My body looks like a minor for the school, but I'm a major. So I gotta find a better way. Fresh Fitness food deliveries, that's what they say. Free perfectly prepped meals, I jot them every day. To save me time, I keep the chassis at bay. I'm eating fish and greens when I'm in my limousine. Network girls peering through the windows like I'm the king of clean. Riding through Clapham, you will know how this happens. Fresh Fitness food, and now they all wanna tap him. Yo, this is Mr. from CCO Vibe Eastsider. All the people with sloppy chassis out there, make sure you get a 50 quid discount with the code Rebus 50. Just go to Fresh Fitness Food website right now. Trust me, the chicas will thank you.
Clodie, your raps are, that's probably your best pitter patter.
Well, mate, thank you so much. That's the first time I've ever got a compliment from you in over a year.
I'll be honest with you, I thoroughly enjoy them.
Well, mate, thank you so much.
I actually should probably have a crack at it. I reckon I'd be quite good at rapping.
Well, let's not push the boat out too far, Arch. Well, Archie, we got some exciting news.
What, the price of Biltong's gone up?
Oh, no, no.
Okay.
We've got Clapham's biggest influencer on the podcast.
I'm Clapham's biggest influencer, and I'm here.
Well, no.
Delivering.
No. Well,
week in, week out.
Well, no, it's slightly bigger than you. Her name's Bronte King. She's absolutely fantastic.
Noah.
You know her?
Yeah.
How do you know her?
All influencers know each other, especially in the Clapham area.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we got her.
That's how I know Alex Marks really well.
Well, we've got.
He was on The Bachelor, Channel 5.
Well, we've got her coming on just to give us.
Channel 5.
That's big.
Unbelievable.
That is big. We've got her coming on.
And now he is an influencer. In the fitness world.
Influencer extraordinaire. He's amazing. But another person who's amazing is Bronte, and we're about to have a little bit of chat with her about, you know, what to do when Clapham opens up again. Bit on fashion, bit on life, and just get a good
time. You could have just asked me. You could have interviewed me. Just taken this time to, like, interview me and ask me about, you know, things.
Well, I think it's
I don't feel like anyone ever asked me any really good questions on here.
Firstly, Bronte, how big a fan are you of the Rig Biz?
I mean, I think my boyfriend's more of a fan than me, but he doesn't live in Clapham, so we don't need to talk about him. I know!
Where does he live?
Surrey.
Okay, at least that's not Putney. That would be worrying.
Yeah, that would be worrying. I wouldn't go over there.
So, Bronte, I'm fascinated to know this narrative about how you actually became, you know, one of Clapham's... Actually, I would say Clapham's biggest influencer.
Well, that's debatable.
What title?
That's debatable, Freddie. That's debatable.
Well, so especially female, you know, biggest female influencer.
Yeah. And then I would say I'm probably Clapham's biggest male influencer.
So, Bronte, what was the story? How did you become Clapham's biggest female influencer?
I think, you know, I went to university, graduated in 2019 and started Gals Who Graduate.
Of course.
Have Guys Who Graduate, and I know you have a big male following. So guys, if you went to uni, you probably all did, then we have Guys Who Graduate. And I feel like lots of grads come to Clapham and, you know, that's how I formed my following.
It's basically like a watering hole for university students coming out of university who just want to have a bloody good time.
Oh yeah, it's full of graduates.
What are your five key tips to someone coming out of university?
Okay, so number one, networking. You know, you've got to be nice to everyone.
Parents, friends. Yeah, I totally agree. Got my job through my dad's brother's best friend.
Right, was it over a pint?
It wasn't. I think my dad had a pint with him. I wasn't there, but I managed to get a job. And then I spent my gap year in Canary Wharf there. And then at the end of it, they offered me a job. So, yeah, it was...
Interesting. Did you not travel in your gap year?
No, just... Well, I travelled. Yeah, I travelled. I travelled from Clapham to Canary Wharf every day. And there's such a diverse people in Canary Wharf, you know, people working all kinds of different time zones. So it was an incredible experience. Obviously, networking, number one. Number two.
To add to your CV and to make yourself stand out, start something that you love. So, like, you've started your podcast.
Yes.
You've got to find something that you love, whether it's, like, making these paintings that you wanted to do, start writing poetry, or start a podcast, start a YouTube channel, just start something you love so it's an extra add on to your CV.
Okay, I would kind of agree with that, but then I'd also say, you know, get yourself in shape. Healthy body, healthy mind. Put down the paintbrush and pick up a kettlebell. Number three.
I would give your CV to a friend and let them read through it, because when you're writing it, you know, you're in lockdown, just writing your CV, you may have missed out something that they think about you and they're like, right, add that to your CV, you've missed that out.
I always give my CVs to my dad because we're best mates and he's always very honest and he sees things I don't see. Another good tip, and I don't know whether you agree with this, is when I was looking for a job, I created my own business cards. and they basically had a CV on the business card. I managed to get a lot of what I offer a business on a tiny little card, and I just hand those out to people willy-nilly.
Yeah, that's a good tip, actually. That's another form of getting yourself out there.
Right, number four.
Number four would be, if you can find the email of a person that works at the place that you want to find a job, then email them and ask for just like a 20-minute Zoom coffee. Just have a little Zoom, have a little coffee and have a talk with them, because that's another form of networking. It means you're getting your face seen in the company.
Yeah, so yeah, I also agree. I would say I call that the stalk. I like to find out not just their email address, but where they live. And if they're not applying to your emails, doorstep them. Number five.
When girls look through the bullet points of like the job entry and what they want, if they see one that they can't, that's not them and they can't do, they will just not apply for it. But guys, if they see two or three that they can't do, they will just still go for it.
Yeah, lie.
So females that are listening, just go for it, because most guys don't even read the entry levels. They just apply.
Don't read the job description. Just get in front of the people and charm them. If you're worried you can't charm them, you can still buy tickets to the AAA BBB CCC course I'm running in Clapham Grand in September. And if people want to follow you, Bronte, where would they be looking? What are your handles?
So Instagram is at BronteKingGG. And then Girls Who Graduate is at Gals Who Graduate.
Gals. I love the way they spell that.
Gals. Yeah.
Well, you invented it, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I should have copyright on that.
You invented it.
I think that was me.
Debatable.
I'll see you in court.
Bronte, thank you so much for coming on. You're absolutely fantastic.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Well, Archie, we've got an incredibly exciting guest on the podcast today, a man who has seen it all. I mean, we've had our Haskells, we've had our Burnsies, our Caresies, whatever, but this guy has really been, you know, the roller coaster ride of life, the rock and roll nature of rugby. He's seen the highs, the lows. Dave Ward.
Wardy.
And he's now playing in the Championship, but he had an incredible career for the Harlequins, getting multiple Man of the Matches and winning titles and the rest of it. So it's brilliant to have a fresh...
Again, it's quite interesting you've got a player from like a lower league, because you could have used me.
So you're saying, just in general, save on guests now. Interview you the whole time.
We've had an influence from Clapham. I tick that box. And then you've got sort of a sort of lower league professional, and I tick that box again.
Okay.
I'm a bit upset.
Right, so we might as well just give up.
Well, just get him on. Just get him on, okay?
Today, we're delighted to be joined by ex-Bath, Saint, Sale and Harlequins hooker/flanker, Mr. Dave Ward. Dave, you're now playing for Ampthill in the Championship.
Yeah, can I just say, Freddie, just interrupt, say it's just great to have a fellow player that sort of plays similar standard to myself. I think this will be thoroughly entertaining.
He's playing the Championship.
Yeah, same standard. Wardy, in our league in South Division West 5, a lot of the teams look at the Clapham Falcons as the Saracens, sort of good looking high earners who definitely know how to sort of shift the ball wide. Do you look at that fixture and think, I cannot wait to get stuck into them? Is that what you're looking at?
Oh yeah, 100%. We want to test ourselves against the best. We want them to play all their internationals, and we want to give it give the league the respect it deserves. And if they do a job on us, which most likely they will do with all their guys playing, then we give them a pat on the back and sort of say, well done.
Yeah, I just do anything to get the opportunity to play against Faz. And, just that opportunity to teach him a little bit about, the art of chat.
What would you teach him, Archie, in terms of...
I just turn it to, teach him about character on the pitch, how to lead a team with, your personality, how to express yourself out there, not just by, with a smile, Wardy.
So talk to me about your sort of leadership in terms of how would you manage Carl Sinclair and Ellis Genge? Same, different?
Well, a lot of people, Genji is a very close friend of mine, follows me on Instagram. So we've become very close after the last 6 months. Genji, a lot of people say we're very similar, obviously different accents, but, similar background. I'd put my arm around them, with Sinks, he's a tooting guy, so he's not too far from Clapham. So he'll get it. He'll get it straight away. And he'll enjoy it. I mean, you've played with Sinks. You're pretty sure he'd enjoy my chat, right?
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, he really sort of bonds well with the upper echelons of society, especially in terms of obviously he did go to a private school in the end, so I think he's a bit of a chameleon.
Wardy, you started off your career at Bath and went through the academy right up into the first team. What are your best memories as you look back at your time at Bath? I mean, we all remember, if you're a Bath fan or not, the early 2000s and mid-2000s at Bath being a sort of very romantic period.
Yeah, I mean, I just being a part of the team with guys like Mike Catt, Danny Grucock, Steve Borthwick, learning my trade and getting in there with those guys, sort of kind of playing with my heroes. I remember I walked into the change rooms and Matt Perry said, "What's the ball boy doing in here?" Because I used to ball boy down at Bath. So that was a bit of a shock to the system. Just being involved with those guys, it's very different nowadays. Back in the day, you had to earn your stripes as a youngster. They'd be sending me to go out there dry cleaning. I'd be going to get the coffees. I'd be going to hold tables at restaurants for them where I'd just sit on my own for an hour, which was always fun. But when they got there, you wouldn't ever put your hand in your pocket and they'd look after you. Nowadays, if you did that to academy, you'd probably have you up in front of HR.
Do you think that's where the game's gone soft? Because, you know, we've had trouble at the Clapham Falcons a few times. You know, a few guys have refused to do some bum funnels. And culturally, they haven't fitted in. But I'm guessing, do you think that's where the game's going wrong? Because, I know you're partial to a few bum funnels, right?
Well, we did a few at Cornish Pirates. I wasn't part of it, but a guy called James Doherty, Ramirez, as he's known, who was our consistent travelling reserve for Pirates. He did a great job. Used to come up most away trips, 6-hour coach journey, never kind of played in the end, and he was a good little player, and we do a little whip round and give him a bum funnel at the end, so that's nice.
What was the egging all about at Bath?
What's egging?
Now you're gonna get me into real trouble. Archie, weren't you involved in that? Didn't you egg Steve Borthwick?
Mate, I have no idea. I've never been egging in my life. I don't even know what it is.
I got a feeling you, Bendenon, potentially. I don't know if he was there. I think you told me he was there. And George Hughes.
George Hughes, yeah.
They might have had Steve Borthwick.
With the information we've got here from a source, it was you involved in that, but I don't know. Maybe that's where we're going wrong.
I am definitely not brave enough to egg Steve Borthwick. So,
can you remember what the initiation was? I mean, you're looking back at romantic times when it was still a bit old school. People used to enjoy a drink. Can you give us an insight into what the Bath initiation was?
Absolutely not. These were the days before camera phones. So
just give us a little idea of what took place in an initiation. We've heard from many, many fellow rugby players.
I mean, you need to get Nick Abendon on here because the closest I can get to a story-ish is when Nick used to live in Cheltenham. So when we were moving from Super Sunday to Mad Monday, Nick decided it was a good idea to camp on the wreck, which nobody knew about. He set up his tent on the wreck. got into massive trouble, and then Peter Short helped him to wake up. That's all I can really say.
Dave, your opportunities at Bath were somewhat frustrating at times, and I'm guessing, obviously, that gave you more license to enjoy the nights out, Super Sunday, Manic Monday, whatever it was called. But then comes along an opportunity to go and move to Northampton. Obviously, they promised you the world and didn't deliver. What happened?
Yeah, it was one of those where I kind of got a bit hamstrung by my agent. Archie, I'm sure this happened to you before. Where basically in rugby, and if an agent moves you, they get more money. They keep you at the same club, they get less money. So they're looking to push their players around and fill holes all the time. I listened to an agent, and actually I should have stayed at Bath the whole time. Bath offered me a 2-year deal and I should have stayed, and I went to Northampton for slightly more money. The guys that signed me as a player actually quit Northampton in the summer. So I turned up to two brand new coaches. I had the time of my life in Northampton, nothing to do with the rugby whatsoever, just the guys, some of my best friends now I live with. But yeah, rugby-wise, it was probably the worst thing that could have happened to me.
Who are your mates at Northampton? Because I've got a pretty frosty relationship with Dylan Hartley. We've had a bit of back and forth.
Me and Dylan didn't really get on. We get on a little bit better now. But yeah he's a bit of a flat-track bully, Dylan, sometimes. That might have happened to you, actually, Arch.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you said that, Wardy. And I just want to say straight away in this interview, I definitely prefer you as a hooker and a person than Dylan Hartley. That can go on record. You can put that on your CV.
I will.
Your career was somewhat frustrating, as we just touched on, at Northampton. And then you moved to Sale, big Manchester Knights out, a big city. But that was also quite frustrating. You're now moving into your mid-20s.
So, it doesn't sound like a great career so far.
No, but then we get to this incredible catalyst point at Cornish Pirates when you get to 25, 26 and suddenly your career comes alive. And then Quins want you and you just turn into an incredible player and everything goes wonderfully. But Sale, how frustrating was that?
Yeah, again, I signed for sale literally just to get out of Northampton. One of those. I turned up and Philippe Senodre was like, oh, hello, Darren. I was like, it's not a great start. didn't know the player he'd signed. So I didn't play for sale. I think I played one game for sale and actually got a point deducted because I was on loan at Manchester and the manager hadn't got the refreshed form, basically, registrations. So yeah, I played about 10 minutes for sale. We got pumped by Quinns at Quinns, 55-10, and I got them a point deducted as well.
Hi, I'm Archie Cousin, founder, director of AC Limited Investment. We're now taking bookings for our famous away days. Why not join us at The Ned, Clapham, Twickenham, Golf, and our famous Sank-on-Sank weekends, where you can meet like-minded people with like-minded ideas and hear from people at the top of their game. We'll be doing networking, lunches, and bum funnels. Book now on the AC Limited website, and we look forward to seeing you there. Remember, no chat allowed.
Well, then you decide you need a reset, and I read that you even considered retiring. I'm not sure if that's correct information. Before joining the Cornish Pirates in the Championship. Can you take us through how that unfolded? I mean, a guy who was about to sort of retire and then suddenly this move really springs his career to life.
Yeah, it's just luck of the draw in terms of I got an offer from Perth MBs, I got an offer from Cornish Pirates. We're talking about 12.5K a year.
Some guys I know, that's their day rate.
Oh, there you go. Exactly. This is real life in the Championship. And then I got an offer from Derby Rugby Club. They offered me no money, but they offered me a job going around race courses, selling advertising as part of their sort of, you know, and they were Nat 3 at the time. So that was, again, one that I did consider. That was kind of probably where the retirement story comes from. Pirates then said to me, genuinely, this was true, that you get free pasties as well. So that was what tipped the balance, and the fact that they were full time. So I went down to Cornwall. First time I drove down to Penzance, got in my car, packed up all my stuff. Never been to Penzance before. Got to Newquay and I was like, oh, I must be here. Hour later, still wasn't there. And I was like, where is this place?
Finally found it. Out of nowhere.
Yeah, well, exactly. you see a sign, Land's End 6 miles, and you know you're getting close. So yeah, and then, you know, best 3 years of my life, rugby-wise. Really.
Massive, massive drinking culture down there. I was actually down in Penzance in the sort of small summer
window. That's because your family have a second house down there.
Well, that is true. You're very famous for your sort of confrontational behaviour. You don't back down on the field. You love a bit of a scrap. And this has sort of brought about a secondary narrative to your career, which is circulating around a certain Mr. Andy Goode. sort of, you know, number one enemy.
God, I feel like I'm in Piers Morgan ITV. This is quite an I'm going to take a back seat. I don't know what to say here, Freddie.
So, Wardy, can you take us through in your words or, you know, your understanding why Goody has this problem, firstly, and also what you truly think about him? You know, we've never really heard it from the other side. A bit of, you know, pitter-patter.
He mentions Wardy quite a lot on the rugby podcast.
He's obsessed with you. So what's your side and everything?
Look, long story short, Cornish Pirates played Worcester. Andy Goode was playing for Worcester at the time. I went for a charge down, but it basically ended up turning to a slide tackle, like a good old-fashioned football slide tackle. Okay, terrible challenge, red card all day long, but for the fact that I didn't actually touch him. So Andy Goode kicks the ball, jumps over me, goes nuts. Okay, and I'm like, well, and the referee, and he's like, red card, and the referee's like, well, he didn't actually touch you. It is a penalty, and that was it. And that was literally the only thing that, you know, he's like, he's going to end my career. And I was like, I didn't actually touch you.
Was there some pre sort of game beef between the two of you? I mean, obviously, you've both been in the game for a while pre that. So
I think that's when it started. That's the first sort of incident. And then he sort of went after me a little bit. And, you know, and you got to remember, Andy Goode's been knocked out by a fellow teammate at all the clubs he's played for.
That's what me and him have in common.
That's a genuine fact. So he can't be that much of a good bloke, can he? Let's be honest. No. But Andy Goode also has to tweet and get reaction. Yeah. So if he wants to tweet something controversial that black's white or, You know, it should have been a red card when a guy should have walked off. That's what he's going to do. And the more controversial he is, the more people are going to react. And that's exactly what he wants. And that's fine. That he's got a career. He's a pundit now, all that sort of thing. So I understand what his end goal is. The fact he drags my name through the mud, for some of it, it's not ideal, let's be honest. But it's not going to be the start of my speaker series, is it? Oh, yeah. Remember that time I almost slide tackled Andy?
No, I agree with you. But I think it's his, you know, crazy faux catalyst which creates all this drama, which is quite intriguing. And I hear you, Lance, had a bit of a scrap, not with Goody, but with your own squad when you were in Bermuda, into squad beef. Can you tell us the story behind that day? Quinn's on tour. Sort of charity day. Or is that Goody just trying to wind you up again?
No, so that... Again, that was enough. I didn't actually involved in that at all. So I think that was just some guys beefing out about each other. Like when rugby players, you know, a lot of blokes, when they get drunk, they start to say, maybe say a few home truths, and some guys react differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm cool, calm, and collected under the influence of alcohol, and I think that's why a lot of people respect me on a night out.
Archie, I've seen you at the tunnel going quite aggressive.
The tunnel. I'm pretty sure we bumped into each other in Infernos.
Wow, that might have also happened. But
I've seen you in the ship from afar, and I thought that guy, he's in good shape. And
wow, yeah, from afar, definitely.
I saw you with Marla and Sinks and Chatshaw, and I just thought, you know what? They look like they're having a good time. I probably don't need to go over there and add any more fun. You know. They'll be my time, but I'll let them just enjoy.
That's a strong group, by the way. That's a strong group, again. But that's a group that a few of them start having a few beers, they start telling a few home truths, and a few of them react in different ways.
Do you have any great memories from Clapham, though? You know, when you look back on your loosest nights out in the furnace, what are you thinking?
I mean, look.
When I saw you, you were wearing red trousers. That was that's how I distinctly remember you.
After I saw you wearing red trousers as well, actually, terrible, aren't I? Terrible. And I mocked you for weeks. Inverness is great because we're in a massive queue, 10 o'clock, we're there, Charlie Walker's getting us on guest list, classic Charlie Walker. We're like, it's going to be absolutely rounding there, we're getting there, there's 7 people in there. I was like, what about the queue outside? You know, tricks you every time though, tricks you every time.
Charlie, is that Noodle?
That's it's Noodle. That's we've had Jack Clifford on the podcast, Kersey. Oh,
Clifford, absolute nature.
Jackman.
Jack terrible. What was he doing? Reading bedtime stories for people.
It was probably the least listened to podcast we've had on there, unfortunately. We did offer him to come on as a sort of intern, but he turned it down, unfortunately.
Jack Clifford's a great guy. I mean, but you know, don't get him to tell you the story unless you want to go to sleep, obviously.
What about Kersey? Obviously, Kersey's a big fan of the podcast, being on. He's helped us out massively.
Kersey? Who's Kersey?
DC, Care Bear, Danny Care.
Yeah, DC. Yeah, these two's mates.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Talking about DC and Quinns, you made your Prem debut for Quinns at the age of 28, surrounded by, as we were just saying, an incredible eclectic list of names there, England internationals, you know, internationals from all around the world. And you were in that squad for 7 years. Obviously, Kersey's a great value. But when you look at your career, that's when it really, really came alive. What is your main regret from the ages of, let's say, 19 to 26, 27? How come you didn't hit the heights you did after that? Multiple man of the match awards every time you played.
Yeah, I mean, look, you've got to be in the right squad, obviously, in the right team, playing the right way, loads of stuff like that. Rugby's all about right place, right time. Like in the business world, Archie would tell you, you know, you sell stocks on the right day, you get a big reward. It's the same with rugby.
So you get born into the right family, like I did, then your dad has a connection to your, you know, his brother's best friend. You get a job and salary just increases every year. It's very, very simple.
Well, when you were winning multiple Man of the Match awards, I mean, 2014 was a wonderful year for you, a vintage year. You got called
great year
up
for Chateau Neuf to chat.
Yeah, you got called up to the England squad. But you didn't get that elusive test cap, but you were on tour. You went out to New Zealand. So what are your great memories? What, you know, your sort of best recollections from that trip when you went to New Zealand, and who led the social charge? I mean, obviously it was 3 years after that, you know, rather risque World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, it was very tame, put it that way. Stuart Lancaster got his ducks in a row.
God, he's a boring bastard, isn't he?
Well, he was going to play. He's a brilliant coach, though. Brilliant coach.
Great coach.
And yeah, just in case he's looking to hire someone one day.
Yeah, it's Stuart. Just to say, if you are listening to this podcast, then please feel free to come on.
But yeah, look, you know, we had some good chats, and that's like the old infamous Tom Wood incident as well, where the non-test squad ran a few beers. I was probably 53rd out of 54 in that touring party. It was a massive touring party because the Premiership final was 2 weeks after we went out there. And there was some argument about the coach, and I was like, look, can you just wait for the rest of us to finish our beers? And they were like, no, we've got a test on in 2 days. And I was like, we're going to be like 10 minutes. And I think Tom Wood was like, oh, do you want to take this outside? And I was like, absolutely not. There's no way I want to take this outside if I'm finishing my beer on my first England tour.
So he was calling you out for a fight, muskets at dawn.
Literally, it was old school. It was old school dueling. The problem is, as well, all my so-called mates just sort of cowered away, and he had a second and a third, and I didn't even have a first. So,
Good. Sounds a bit
if
like...
If only I was there.
Dave, of all the players you played against in your career, who was the most frustrating? Let's leave Goody out of this, but who was the most frustrating to come up against? Who wound you up the most on the pitch?
Oh, Dylan. Me and Dylan used to play against each other. I used to really enjoy it, but obviously he'd wind me up a lot. Tom Youngs was another one, actually, that sort of took a real disliking to me, and I didn't really know why. So I thought, yeah, I'm going to dislike you back as well.
When you sit back now and analyse your career in the professional game, obviously you're still playing in the Championship, and hopefully, you know, maybe you can cause some upsets. It's a short season. If you win all the games, you know, you've got a chance to get back up to the Prem. Yeah, but what goes down as your greatest highlight when you look back now, and also your biggest regret?
My biggest highlight would definitely be when I captained Harlequins at Big Game 10. Scored the first try, got man of the match. It was against Northampton. Yeah, I was on the front of the programme. I probably should have retired then, really. That was my, the highlight of, and the players I was playing with that day as well, like George Merrick, Carl Sinclair, some of my really close friends. That was a fantastic day. Biggest regret, I mean, when I got banned for 16 weeks when I first joined Quins, that wasn't ideal. And probably leaving Bath when I was 19.
Well, Dave, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, mate.
Best of luck for the season.
No, cheers, gents. Thank you very much.
Dave Ward, what a gent. I mean, he's got stories.
Good guy. Yeah. He's got a strong Bristolian accent, but I won't hold that against him.
No, not at all. Yeah, he's seen it all.
Yeah,
the highs and lows.
Good for him.
Yeah, a bit like you in the city, I suppose.
Yeah, I actually think he could make it in the city.
Really?
Yeah, he's got he's robust enough.
He's got the
better.
You've got
to have a bit of robustness to survive the city.
Well, he should.
There's no chance coming in the city fresh faced.
No, true.
I haven't got to where I've got to without being robust.
Well, he should.
I've taken a few knocks, but I've got back up. You know, sometimes when I've had a bad day, I listen to Chumbawamba. You know the song? No. I get knocked down, but I get back up again. You can never knock me down.
Clubhouse stories, oh, initiations we all know. Clubhouse stories, oh, initiations, we want to know them now.
So, Archie, we are back with some more Clubhouse stories. And this week, we're hoping to beat last week's one.
Right, last week was bloody disappointing. I know a lot of people, a lot of the Rugger lads, loved this section.
And they weren't happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's blasphemy what happened last week.
Yeah.
Blasphemy.
Yeah, they were let down by the stories. Yeah. Well, hopefully this week we can beat it.
It's surprising that two guys, supposedly rugby guys, mm-hmm. have got poor pitter-patter.
No, I completely agree with you. It's actually quite insulting. You know,
I lost a few hours sleep.
Really?
Yeah.
That's actually quite sad.
About that.
Well,
luckily, I'm now taking 7-minute cold showers in the morning. And, you know, once I have that,
you're good to go again.
Okay.
Well, this week, hoping to beat last week's
failures. Because the thing is, Fred, you know, the thing is, when you're a rugby guy like me, you know, you go to that clubhouse.
Yeah.
And you just know you're going to get told a few good yarns.
Uh-huh. Someone's going to spin them.
And what happened last week was the complete opposite. We had two people turn up with shit chat.
Yeah, yeah, really poor.
I hate shit chat.
Yeah, you despise it.
I really don't like shit chat.
Well, mate, hopefully to give
this guy better not have shit chat.
Well, hopefully to give you some good chat is Jonathan Orridge.
I just call him Ridgey.
Ridgey, yeah.
Ridgey.
Saves us all, especially the Sprout Shakes.
Already think this guy's going to be okay.
Well, he starts off.
Yeah, I'm telling you, if he has shit chat,
he's done.
I personally will drive to where he lives and tell him.
Well, dear Archie and Freddie, I hope this email finds you well.
It does. I've been better, but I can do business.
Okay, I would like to inform you of one of the initiations we have at Horsham Rugby Club, a club which denies hockey boys service at the bar and generally compromises lads that like to do their business in the city.
Oh, okay, good. I might have to pop down there for a few ales.
this particular...
Oh, that's actually cheered me up. That paragraph is very well written.
This particular initiation is known as the Bird Pool and usually occurs after the first game of the season.
Yep.
One of the lads, Dildo Baggins.
Ooh, why is he called that?
We call him that because he has hands like dildos and looks like a hobbit.
That's put a smile on my face.
And he has an exceptionally stretchy scrotum.
When you're rugby guys, you know about each other's scrotums.
As part of the ceremony, Baggins would stand on a chair in the middle of the clubhouse,
pull his
pants down, and pull out his scrot as far as he could.
Okay.
He would then fall.
How many meters?
He didn't say, but I imagine pretty far. Okay. He would then form.
Good on him. He should put that on his CV.
He would then form a slight hollow in his leathery sack. Whoa. And proceed to fill said hollow with beer.
Yeah.
A debutant then has to drink from the bird pool.
Okay.
While the rest of the lads sing the birdie song at him. I'm sure you'll agree. That is unbelievable.
He's brought it back. That, for me, ticked a lot of boxes. A great intro, great nickname, and just great banter. Drinking beer from a scrotum.
It's good, isn't it?
That's like where initiation we have when someone gets 50 caps. We get Grobla, scrum half, to piss in their mouth.
He signs off by saying, I look forward to doing business with you soon, Archie.
Yeah, you will be.
Over a protein-based lunch, Ian.
This guy, Ridgie.
It gets better. Love and champagne, Johnny O.
Okay.
And he's even thrown his nickname, a.k.a. the Gainline Albatross.
I'm going to give this guy 9.5 out of chat.
9.5, that's your highest score.
He's taken a lead. And we've had some great stories.
Jesus Christ. Well, that is amazing.
But that's rugby, guys. And if you're listening to this podcast and you don't play rugby, you probably should now.
It's time for a member from Archie's Diary. You better sit back, because it's going to get fiery. It's time for a member from Archie's Diary. If you girls are single, then make an inquiry. So, Archie, before you set off on another installment of your wonderful Gap Years Diary, we do have to say...
Loving this section as well.
This section...
This is a really niche section
we
brought in, and it's just taking people by storm.
Yeah, it's like buying someone in the transfer market.
And it's just great for me to reminisce, because sometimes I forget where I've come from.
Yeah, yeah.
I forget how far
the
I've
humble
come.
Roots, the humble roots.
Yes, it's
you give them.
There's a lot of young guys listening to this podcast, and they're just following me.
You're giving them the aspirations they need.
Just think, there's a little Archie's getting produced, and they'll all be working in the city soon.
Well, it's funny because
all with little rigs and great chat.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's funny because you were a young man then. You were 18, and you could never see in 10, 15 years' time that all your friends would be hairless and have awful chances. But that has happened to some of them. So, you know, this section is brought to us by the guys from Suns, the incredible guys. They get results in 9 out of 10 men, over 90% success rate. All you have to do is go to the Suns website, get a 1-month or 3-month package. And guys, you cannot be the people which you've fallen out with, Archie, those guys who get fat and lose their hair.
Yeah, yeah. I'm speaking to the younger guys now. If you think you're losing your lid, please do something about it, because, you know, your better looking friends will disown you in the future.
Well, back in your day, you know, there was no such thing as, you know, if you want to get your hair, you had to do sort of a dodgy transplant in Turkey. But these guys are now giving even better results than that.
Exactly.
So
take this opportunity by the hands like England did at the weekend.
If you're thinning on top, you can say stop. Go to the Suns website and put in the code RIGBIS20 for £20 off your 1-month or 3-month package. Trust me, the cheekers will thank you.
Monday the 15th. I think I was still pissed this morning after doing a bloody Sunday session at the Ship. I went there with a few of the rugby boys and we saw Jamie Roberts and Chris Robshaw absolutely lashed up. I bought a pint right next to Nick Easter, and I can tell he's a top, top lad. We actually were drinking the exact same drink, Amstel. That's a great beer. Grobler, scrum half, we call him Grobler because he's got a dodgy lid, terrible facial hair, but he's a safe pair of hands on a night out, taught us this new game for the rugby boys where you just sing to someone when they get a pint. So I got a pint and Grobler sang, I've never seen Archie neck a pint. I've never seen Archie neck a pint. I've never seen Archie, never seen Archie, never seen Archie neck a pint. And then when he sings it, you have to neck it. I was sick all over myself, but that was a great excuse to take my chinos and my shirt off and just walk around in my boxer shorts. Such good banter. I love going out with the rugby boys, although I do feel a bit fluey today. It was bloody cold.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that brings to an end another episode of the Rigbiz
Solid
Podcast.
Pod. This
we had a lot of fun.
This has been a great season so far.
We had a lot of fun. It's gone really, really well, and there's a lot of energy
I
in the room. It's fantastic.
I said it before, and I'll say it again. I am playing stupendously.
You are playing
you
well.
You will find there is no chat from me.
No, there is none at all. Well, actually, there's a tiny bit. But
if I was looking at that as a game, I reckon we got the bonus points.
Yeah, yeah.
And pretty much that was near enough the perfect game.
Well, talking about bonus point, Wales going to this weekend with the Grand Slam still in their hands. Do you think they'll do it?
Good luck to them. A few of the Welsh boys follow me on Instagram. So, honestly, wishing the best of luck.
Do they?
No hard feelings.
Do they? Which ones follow you?
Lots of them.
Really? Like who? Just one. Just give us the name.
Reese Priestland?
Mate, he's not on the team. He hasn't been in for a couple of years.
Mate, I've got contacts there.
You got contacts there. Okay.
Priesty follows me, and then they all follow. It's like, you know.
It's like LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, best of luck to the Welsh, and hopefully England can get one over the Irish. I mean, that would be a good end to proceedings after. You know,
no, mate,
are you going to do one more sort of rallying call for them? Be in contact with any of the boys?
No.
You've done your work.
They know now. Yeah, but that was a great podcast. Hopefully they'll listen to this, and that will just by listening to this podcast will help them.
Yeah. Put it
There's
on.
There's a lot of bit of little snippets they can take from this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, just maybe, if they win, some of the boys will be sinking pints from someone's scrotum. It's all solid gold in here, and I want to disappear with you.
Run away with me. We're solid gold, you see. All right, it's all solid gold in here, and I want to disappear with you. Run away with me. We're solid gold, you see. All right, it's all solid gold in here. It's all solid. I want to disappear. It's all solid gold. Run away with me. It's all solid. It's all gold. Solid gold, you see. With gold all over our bodies and gold inside of our heads, don't dream of any other. Dream of me instead. Dream of me instead. Dream of me instead.